This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Phillies Backstage. I'm Tom Burgoyne, joined by John Brazier, Director of Fun and Games. John, I'm looking forward to our guest today. I get the feeling like if this guy wasn't doing what he's doing, he would have made a good mascot.
Tom, I'm excited for this one because normally we get alumni, right? We'll
yes.
get announcers, we'll get current players, we'll get our coaches, managers, and this is something we're going to learn something because,
yes.
We are fossils here. So we're trying to figure out. I want to get to know what Barstool Sports, how it got started. And yeah. I'm telling you, I watched a lot of videos in the last, whatever we've lined this up, the last two or three days. And I'm telling you, I think I've been missing out on a lot of stuff.
You can go down that wormhole pretty easily.
I went down the wormhole big time. And I think I was telling you today that I saw Smitty's boxing match, which was awesome. Literally, I was telling these guys walking in, I had it cranked up, the volume. I didn't realize how loud I had it. And people were walking up and down the hall and looking in. And looking at me like, what the hell are you watching here? So,
well, let's bring him in. Adam Smith, Smitty from Barstool Sports Philadelphia. And do I have it right? I mean, looking up your background, it did look like, you had your hand in comedy a little bit. You love sports. Was mascot ever, in your sights? Professional mascot?
True story. My older brother was a professional Disney mascot.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And it goes by height, so he's 5'9", yes. So he locked down the Pluto, Eeyore, Father John range, Rafiki. That was my personal favorite.
Right.
Never really made the leap. No. Mascot, but I'm sure. We'll leave it to the pros.
But it's okay. I love how people get to we've heard your story, Tom. Obviously, you answered a one ad, right?
Right.
And you didn't even know it was for
correct,
right? To
yeah.
be the best friend of the Fanatic.
Best friend of the Fanatic.
Right. I told these guys coming up here how I was basically hammered at a wedding and was but did everything what you shouldn't do to try to get a job. But for yourself, you're an athlete, right? You went to Susquehanna. You went to Great Valley. Then you went to Susquehanna
yes.
to play football.
You could put athlete in quotes, D3.
That's fine. No,
yeah.
This is a podcast.
Okay.
So people don't have to. There's no truth fact checkers here.
look up those stats and they will be fact checked. Believe me. Put it in quotes.
But you played football and you had some injuries, right?
Yeah. I think we won four games in the 4 years I was there.
And tight end?
Tight end.
Okay.
It builds character, Smitty. Come on.
It's something.
But then after you, when you realize, you finished college, you did a lot of things, right? You did video work, right?
Yeah. So my story is basically I grew up in Malvern and I had two passions, Philly sports and trying to make people laugh. So when I went to Susquehanna, I didn't go for anything other than to continue playing sports for the most part because I didn't know what the hell I wanted to do. And so I go out to Susquehanna in the middle of nowhere, graduate, and I'm kind of lost. Graduate with a degree in mass communications, know how to video edit a little bit, get a job at a video production company. Actually liked it a lot, but was kind of lost because I didn't have the structure of sports, didn't have a place to go to fulfill my competitive edge other than intramural basketball. And it's I'm a 22-year-old, just unathletic white guy at that point. What am I going to do? I'll try to hit the clubs, Center City, stand-up. So I went to open mics at Helium, the Laugh House.
Oh, hold on. Let's stop right there. The first time you did it, I like to tell jokes. You like to tell jokes,
yeah.
right? I'm a big storyteller. Was that absolutely terrifying getting up there the first time? Or not?
Well, the first time that I did it, you only had, I don't even think it was 90 seconds at Helium. I think it was 70 seconds, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's an eternity up there. And I think 60 of those 70 seconds
wow.
was me was me trying to make jokes about Dikembe Mutombo's private parts. So it didn't go over too hot. But
I don't know. I think that's some material there. The audience wasn't appreciating it?
No, not so much. But I stuck with it, took a couple classes, and over a couple years, I would go out to Doylestown to the Comedy Cabaret every weekend, and I got somewhat okay. I got decent, and my girlfriend at the time was living in New York, so in 2008, 2009, I was like, ah, screw it. I'll take a shot. Moved to New York. Try out comedy, video editing. Yeah, I crashed and burned. Just absolutely. Absolutely.
Why is that?
Was it one instance or was it just kind of accumulation of?
So there are, Philly is ripe with comedy. A lot of underrated and underdeserved comics are from here and just excel. I mean, right now, like Shane Gillis, Tommy Pope, the Delco Proper guys, John McKeever, Anton Shufra. I mean, you could go down the line to just like the newer school guys, not even like Dimar Era and like the
Craig
old
Shoemaker.
School guys. Yeah. But Philly was like a fraternity when it came to comedy. There were only so many spots you go for open mics, and everybody there was kind of on your side. Like you go and everybody would be supportive of each other, just kind of pick each other up. Yeah, not so much New York. New York was kind of
you're on your
free
own.
For all. Yeah, and I was always decent, but I knew even in Philly I didn't have quote unquote it, which is fine, absolutely fine. But I knew once I got to New York and kind of crash and burn, like that wasn't so much around that for me.
Did you like living in New York too? I mean, when you compare the two cities, right? You were Philly through and through, right?
No, I ended up back in New York with Barstool, so that was that.
Right,
so,
but before you did that, though, you did your own blogging, right? For your own.
Well, around that time, I actually won an online poker tournament for a lot of money, and I was like, oh, this is easy. I'll try to do this for a while, and it just crashed and burned even more. So around 2009, 2010, my girlfriend at the time kicked me out in New York. I moved back home to Malvern, my parents. Just like, okay, I know I want to do something that revolves around comedy and sports, but I know stand-up, give that a shot. Don't really know what else to do. I saw Barstool at the time. I saw other sports blogs. Okay, I'll start my own sports comedy blog.
And that was somewhat new, right?
It was very new. Yeah. So around that time, Crossing Broad, I think, just started. There was like 7th and Patterson. There was a couple Philly sports blogs that were just like up and coming. I'm like, I can do this. So I started. It was Phils and Birds, and then put some money into it, became Almighty Philly. Got some legs, was on 97.5 WIP, getting some hits here and there. And then around that time, Barstool was looking to expand from Boston, where it was, to New York and to Philadelphia. So I was like, oh, I'm perfect for this. Apply for the job. Didn't get it, but was offered to write for free. And that was 2011. And
for the guy who got it? For the guy who got it? Or
well, Dave Portnoy always owned Barstool.
Right. But I guess the guy, Mo, right? It was
Mo, yep.
Right. So then did you work under Mo?
Like Yes. Okay. So I was part-time under or worked for free and then part-time. And eventually Mo ended up leaving for Complex. And I think he's at ESPN now doing great things. And I was able to snake my way in.
So for our listening audience that don't really know Barstool, sum it up like in a quick, because you guys are multi- Right. I mean,
it's not what it was back in 2011 to 2016. So in 2011, it was straight sports, funny comedy. What guys would like, what guys would sit down at the bar and talk about, that's what would be up on the blog. Like 20 things a day, all very new, all very raw. A lot of things did not age well. And then in 2016, we had Boston, Chicago, New York, DMV, had Iowa. And Peter Chernin, who's a Hollywood producer, was a fan of us and bought us out. And we all moved to New York, and that's where it really started to take off with the podcast, specifically Part of My Take. Dave really started to take off with the pizza reviews, and it just grew from there. Now you own
bars and
merchandising.
Right? Barstool Sansom, check it out. It's beautiful.
Yep, and you got bought out by Penn Gaming too, right?
Yep, and I think 2019, 2020, Penn Gaming bought us out, and we have a sports book now, BarstoolSportsBook.com, and it's become a media empire, and all credit to Dave Portnoy for starting it out, just selling newspapers on the street of Also, not even selling them, just giving them away in 2003.
And how much was you got something?
No, I was going to say just the writing aspect. Did you always like to write as a kid? And if you were a sports fan in Philadelphia, did you grow up reading the newspaper?
Oh, yeah.
And like, I my ears were, Stan Hockman and, know, Jason Stark and,
Bill Lyon.
And Frank Dolson. So,
it was we were always an Inquirer house and we were always a daily local news
growing up. And you always liked to write.
I did like to write, but what was nice about Barstool, you didn't have to write well.
Right,
you
right.
just have to be funny. And it was about quantity over AP style quality.
Yeah.
And that helped in the long run.
I mean, it was almost like a fraternity, I guess, right? You basically just like, check this out. You're like, you can't write that. It's like, they're going to, right? Like, yeah, you can. Whereas, when you're traditional sports writing, obviously it's very by the book. But when you're in a new format or a new format, new company, it's right. It's a wild, wild west.
Yeah. It's basically trying to get my buddies to laugh.
Right.
Like, I knew that if I thought of it was entertaining and my friends thought it was entertaining, our audience would most likely find that it was entertaining.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Does he try to? You must have had a field day in 2000, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl with obviously Portnoy being a big Patriots fan.
Yeah, we were up there. We were in Minneapolis. That was some good times and some questionable times.
But you stayed out of jail.
We did. Barely.
You got to think about
barely,
that, John.
But it was it's good and it's all real.
And when you started, it was a lot of blogging and but then like memes and videos and that kind of stuff. Did that build, or was that always around when you got started? Like, now it's a lot of the stuff that makes you laugh are the videos that people post or the memes and those type of things.
Yeah, around like up until probably 2014, 2015, we were strictly just like writing.
Right.
And then we started dabbling into like one-off videos and like I was debating whether to bring this up or not, but one of my videos was sneaking in here to sing the national anthem, which
we heard about it.
Yeah, oh, I heard about it as well.
We did our research. We're lucky that somebody wasn't in our office today. Yeah. Who normally joins us for lunch, but
I heard about that one quite a bit. I had to do quite a lot of apologizing before I was
some community service thrown in
a little bit, but just like stuff. Not to that extreme, but things that would just make people laugh, and the video aspect grew into an actual organized podcasting platform, which exploded in like 2016. What part of my take?
All right, talk about some of the cool, in your role and dealing with the different sports, you've had to do different stunts. I know when we played the Saints, right? Didn't you lead some people down the art museum steps sledding, right?
Oh, man, you did your homework. Yeah. Jesus.
Talk about some of the stunts that have been, like, fun for you as part of your job.
So that video, that was fun. That was the Eagles-Saints. In 2000, I think, God, Chip was here, so Adam, in 2014, 2015, some Saints fans threatened to take over the art museum steps. Not on our turf. So right. Mo and I went down, defended the art museum steps. That became a video. One of my favorite Philadelphia-based videos of all time was it was 2017, I believe, Reese's rookie year. Came up to the office.
Did he do that on his own? Did you invite him up there?
We knew he was coming in. He wanted to come up and like check it out. It was like, we'll do like a little video and stuff, maybe a pizza review with Dave or whatever. I don't think they got the pizza review in. But we were chucking around ideas what to do. And it was just like, I'll just dress up like a coach and teach him how to hit. And said to our office manager, Brett, it's like, all we need is a tee. That's it. I'll take care of the rest. Brett forgets the tee day of. Like, we can't soft toss in an office. Right. So we ended up getting Za, who is our Zimbabwe little person, to hold a ball.
But it wasn't a baseball. Thank God.
No, it wasn't a baseball. It was, I forget what it was. It was like a little soccer ball thing.
Right.
And Reese, he almost took our heads off.
Well, Reese hit the guy that was filming, right?
It was like Major League when Lou Brown and the assistant coach was saying, okay, let's see what you got. And it went right in between.
Right. Right.
It was like that. Just
but if that's
right
a real baseball, that
oh, yeah.
It caused some damage right there.
Yeah.
Do you get that a lot? Celebrities who want to associate themselves like that with Barstool?
Oh, yeah.
And athletes, athletes.
Bryce has been a fan of Barstool forever.
Yeah.
We were one of the fortunate ones to have him on for an hour-long sit-down before the season. I mean, we were just expecting, like, yeah, let's pop on 10 minutes, just, say hi. He sat down and shot the stuff with us for, like, hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Has it amazed you that players nowadays, are trying to build their social media platforms and, an easier way to reach their own fans?
It does amaze me because growing up, I'm a child of the 93 years. I was 8 at the time. So that basically engrossed my childhood. I always looked at those guys as untouchable. Like, I can never, ever be in the same room or existence as Dalton or Dykstra or Kroc or Schilling.
You don't want to be in the same room with Dykstra.
Well, we had that. We were
maybe,
one time.
Maybe you would.
Yeah, we were. I'll tell you about that afterwards.
Okay.
But now it's amazing just how nice and humble everybody seems.
Yeah, accessible.
And accessible.
And they get it too, right? I mean,
exactly.
They kind of get
you know
the
what's
whole
interesting too? Like, back when we were growing up, the players, let's say when we first started in the 90s, right? The players were, if you think about the media, they're reading, they might read maybe an article about, their game from last night, or they'll hear talk radio. It wasn't really, TV was more just the highlights. It wasn't really Comcast Sportsnet. It was more Prism back then. Well, now their medium, right, is something that they consume. And they're the same age. Mm-hmm. So when you're Bryce or you're Reese or you're, whomever, JT, you're actually going on there for pleasure, like to kind of check it out and write. So it's not like what are these old people writing about our game and this and that. It's actually you're almost contemporaries that are, and they actually I imagine they somewhat like the snark, unless the snark is
that's also a thing. It's not just us. It's everybody has a voice,
right?
And I can imagine, like, I read everything. I can imagine they most likely read everything,
or they'll hear about it from somebody else.
Exactly. So I mean, that's good, but that's also like frustrating at times.
Right.
So
it is funny. So Barstool basically uses what is out there on the internet, and you post your own stuff. Do you have somebody who's always feeding you like funny stuff? Like, for instance, there's a football game the other night. Somebody got tagged. One of the security guards really laid out a guy who ran onto the field. And now, like, it's all over the place. So, obviously you guys post it.
Yeah.
But that stuff just exists, and it's just being shared by everybody.
Yeah,
right?
in the normal days of blogging back in the day, we'd see something like that. We would put it on the website and add our 2 cents. That was a blog, essentially. So you get things like that go viral that you interact with, and then you create original content. Like, you see a security guard get pummeled, an old blog would have been, top 10 athletes that would make good security guards or bouncers, and then, like, you put your own spin on it and try to get it out there.
But, Tom, they're also doing, you guys just not too long ago did the big basketball tournament. Barstool did a basketball tournament at the Wells Fargo Center, right? Mississippi State and Akron and a couple other teams, and then and Portnoy and somebody else did
Big
the color.
Cat.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Oh, right. Right. It was
by Portnoy and Big Cat, and we also had Roan, and basically everybody was, Derek and Boozer all behind the scenes.
But it was a totally irreverent, right? It was not irreverent. It wasn't the stiff, color commentator.
No.
Color
no.
analyst.
I mean, Portnoy was blatantly rooting for Toledo because he had multiple thousands of dollars on them.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is a betting angle.
Yeah.
That, right.
Which rubs people the wrong way, and I could see it being gray lines, but it's entertaining. For sure.
Right. And I think, again, the whole medium is changing so much. You know, Monday Night Football, people are now watching. You can watch the traditional, right?
Right.
Or you can go watch the alternate Manning brothers.
Manning brothers.
You know, kind of going back and forth. And there's a lot of people, more the younger generation, would rather watch the Manning brothers, kind of hear what they have to say, as opposed to listening to Chris Collinsworth or whoever's doing the broadcast.
And that's also another thing that's changed from when I was growing up, even when I went to college, is if you wanted to do anything along those lines in sports, you had to pretty much either be in sports, play it, become even professional or close to it, or have a journalism degree. Now that's not even close to what it is. You just need to put butts in the seats and find a way.
Do you see that there's more activity on Barstool platforms when the team's doing well?
Yes.
Yes.
And in fact, I think I would be a lot richer of a person now if the Phillies were more successful the early 2011 when I started working up until now. There's a direct correlation. Barstool wouldn't have survived if Boston didn't win every championship in the early 2000s. Mm. That's how it really elevated, because Dave was the one in the forefront leading the charge, selling the t-shirts, doing all this. When I started in 2011, there was a drought. I mean, Sixers were going through the process. We were doing this here at the bank. I mean, the Flyers maybe made the playoffs here and there. Eagles didn't have much when the Chip Kelly years. It was tough. And then when sports teams are good, everything's easy. The content comes to you, the merch sells.
We'll talk about the merch, because one of the merch items that you guys did, which became wildly popular, was Rob Thompson, right?
Oh, yeah.
Talk about how that came about.
So I Ride with Philly Rob. That was Kyle, right? Yeah, so our social media guy, Kyle, thought about that. Why don't we just put Rob Thompson's face on a t-shirt and say, I Ride with Philly Rob? It's like, okay, we'll try it. And that's the thing. We'll throw a lot of stuff against the wall. Most of it doesn't stick. Some really takes off, and that was one of them. And then Bryce asked for a couple of the shirts. Jamie Hoskins got a whole bunch. I mean, we've got Mikal Bridges out in Phoenix wearing them. So, I mean, stuff takes off.
The whole country of Canada.
Yeah.
Right?
I would think
they're placing orders.
And you find a really good idea, and especially a likable figure like Rob Thompson. You just try to ride it out.
So what is next in the, again, you guys bought a bar, you've got the podcast and the video and the blogging and all. I mean, where's in the gaming, where is Barstool going next?
Hey, it's really unlimited. We had the NCAA tournament in Philly. We had a bowl game last year. I got canceled because of COVID. You could really see us anywhere. That bowl game will be coming back at some point, I bet. We're going to be opening more bars. Barstool Scottsdale just opened up. We're in multiple casinos and Penn casinos and multiple sports books. The sports book is going to continue to grow as states keep legalizing gambling.
How about esports?
We have an esports presence that I was heavily involved in up until about a year ago. And it's always going to be there. It's always going to be there, and we hope to bring it.
But they've been talking about building an arena down here in the
right
complex.
The Philadelphia Fusion were going to, and I think COVID kind of ruined a lot of that.
But it's not getting back on track to be built, or?
I don't think so.
Hmm. Do you have a senior league, guys like Tom can play breakout and do asteroids?
Pong. I was an asteroids guy back in the day, man. Asteroids was my game.
Yeah, we can Pac-Man it up any day of the week. That'd be great.
That's good stuff. Do you run any problems with, I know you don't come down here too often, but maybe some of your colleagues, when it's the mainstream media versus, trying to get a credential or trying to get access into the clubhouse. I know that's probably been an issue over
the years. We kind of gave up after a while.
Because it's not quite your lane, right?
No. And it's actually easier to cover from home, take the phone out and get something. I mean, when we're here, when we're here in the playoffs, it was better content to get stuff in the stands anyway, because you'll do a selfie video and jump up and down and do that. But we had some issues specifically with the NFL sneaking in places in which they didn't like that.
As far as because you were showing the game coverage or?
No.
Just the content?
Dave Portnoy has a rivalry with Goodell, which is pretty vile. And it got to the point where Goodell kicked him out of the Super Bowl, I believe.
Is that right?
Yeah, dragged him out. It's actually pretty totalitarian how he did that.
Right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. One other thing I got to, because I was watching your Rough and Rowdy boxing match, right? Boxing match. So, Tom, did you hear about this? So they do this, you know, they put on these box matches. This was in Morgantown, and they did it in a ballroom, and they had, how many preliminary fights were there?
Oh, God, there were about 30 fights, and I bet there were still more fights in the stands than there were in the ring.
And these fights are less, they're three rounds each, right? So some go, like, literally 20 seconds.
Yeah, 3 1-minute rounds. Right. And a minute doesn't sound like a long time, but it's...
It'll wear you out.
It's a long time.
But he was a feature act. Smitty was a feature act with a guy who's, he was 39 years old at the time. You were probably what?
I was 33.
33, so not too bad.
But did Sean Sheff, that he was...
But you were the
guy.
And you were the villain, right? You were the villain.
I wasn't expecting that, but like... Probably should have been expecting that, seeing how McAfee went to West Virginia and Sean was his guy. But it was something just being booed by like 5,000 people.
How'd you fare? How'd you do?
Oh, I won. I'm professionally 1-0.
1-0.
1-0. Retired. Tore my shoulder up. So I mean,
because you have a bad shoulder and a bad knee and leg.
Susquehanna took my right ACL and right. Separated shoulder, and then in the ring, I got a torn labrum. The bicep was off the bone. Didn't notice that till the end, which was nice. And good old West Virginia boxing. I was talking to the fight doctor afterwards, and he's like, "Yeah, there's something going wrong in there." And I was like, "Oh, so what can we do with that?" He's like, "Well, you know, we could take a half hour ride to the hospital. You'd probably be there all night. Or you could just have a couple beers and man up."
But Tom, one of the preliminary fights, there was this skinny guy with tats all over, and he was fighting next to you. I guess he didn't get out of the way, and this guy gives him literally a roundhouse right in his. And this guy, they have it in slow motion, the mouth guard flying out, the guy literally flying
slow mo
straight back. But that was all the preliminary. These guys were the headliners. I knew the ending, but I didn't know how it ended, and it was awesome. They set it to music, and but that's like original content, right?
I mean, Dave went down there in like 2012 to a Rough and Rowdy in West Virginia where it was normally at, and saw it, and he like did a video, and once we got bought out, he went to Chernin, and he's just like, "We got to buy this, right, and we got to put on the fights on our own." So now him and Big Cat, they call the fights. It's actually a professionally run thing, and you get guys not only the amateurs coming through and throwing hands, like Jose Canseco fought in one. I think Pac-Man Jones is fighting in one coming up. So, I mean, you get to see some names try to go at it.
Is there a place locally here in the city?
No, it's not regulated in PA.
PA, all right.
It's mostly just West Virginia. We had one in Georgia for the Super Bowl. There's one in Florida. But I think it needs to be, like, UFC rules in PA. So they were discussing, actually, so... you know, when you tap gloves at the beginning of the fight, to make it UFC regulated, just go up and tap feet. So there's a kick, and then you just start boxing.
Jeez. Well, remember the old place, the Blue Horizon?
Yeah. Right? Oh, I love the Blue Horizon. Went
awesome
there a few times.
To watch.
Yeah.
You're probably too young for that.
Right on Broad Street. Yeah.
It was an old classic Prism. Speaking of Prism, used to have boxing matches there, like Friday nights, I think.
Yeah, I went a couple times, and what a classic place. Classic.
But what was more terrifying, that boxing match or your first stand-up comedian?
Stand-up. Not even close. I mean, the boxing match, I knew I couldn't get knocked out. That was my goal. I knew, like, if I went down, I would have to probably die because I wouldn't hear the end of it, like, getting knocked out. Stand-up, I mean, that's, looking back at that, that's... That's literally a joke.
And going back to like the athletes, so the Eagles, Flyers, Sixers, Phillies, I mean, do you guys communicate? Do you guys get to know each other through social media channels? Like, so, like someone reaches out via Twitter or somewhere else? How do you?
Yeah.
That's basically how it connects.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, a lot of these guys read Barstool or follow like Part of My Take and are guests naturally through PR or just want to come on and do that. But we connect a lot through social media.
What local athlete that you know about was most pissed at a take or something you did? There had to have been one that you heard about that he didn't like my take on, you know, whatever.
Oh, who was the cornerback who sucked under Chip Kelly? No, not Namdi, under Chip. Not Kerry Williams, the other one, who he called Toast.
Izell Jenkins?
No,
that's way back.
Jenkins. Byron Maxwell. Byron Maxwell was not happy with
Yeah, Izell's going back a few years.
Because of something specific you said about him?
Yeah, the guy stunk. I mean, you call it how it is, and he wasn't too pleased about it.
Right.
Yeah. it is what it is. But most, and we're not that, like, vicious towards the athletes. I mean, we'll basically, you know, say stuff on the field, and we won't get personal with them. But I guess it's tough to hold back sometimes.
Sure.
But yeah, Byron definitely.
That's the nature of what you
do. Now, have you defended the fanatic to Barstool New York or Barstool Boston?
Oh,
right,
every day.
Because what does Boston
every
have?
Wally the Green Monster.
Wally the Green Monster.
Oh man,
and that Patriot.
The
Mr. Met. New York.
New York.
Mr. Met. No, he can. When there was a lawsuit about somebody getting hit in the face by the hot dog cannon, I mean,
were all over it.
We're defending the Fanatic.
see, that's what I'm trying to think. It's best maybe Fanatic kind of steers clear of some of the Barstool stuff. You know, no offense.
No.
there could be some place. Come on, it's gonna be a great place for that.
No, absolutely.
The Fanatic is revered. Revered. This is actually
maybe have a rough and rowdy with Gritty and the Fanatic.
That would sell. My first time meeting the Fanatic.
Hey, look at that. Yeah. Looking at a cell phone picture here. That is awesome.
Yeah, how many
years ago was that?
I was very excited, apparently.
Tom, describe to the listeners what's going on right there.
Well, first of all, it's just, it's Smitty and who's the other?
That's my older brother.
And your older brother with the Fanatic posing for a picture. And I'm noticing it had to be before 1992.
Yes.
Because that's when we changed our uniforms to the logo you see today. So that's the maroon color. Yep. And the old style P on the Fanatic.
And I was so excited, I'm just straight up holding my junk.
Yeah, I see that. I think you had to go to the bathroom. You might have had to hit the, this is great, but where's the men's room?
Do you have a favorite on-field Fanatic memory? Any of his skits or any of his... things that he's done.
I mean, the Jason Kelce recent one.
That brings tears to a lot of eyes. That guy's the greatest.
That guy. I met him for literally whatever that night.
Yeah.
First time. Never. You know, when you meet somebody like for the first 5 minutes, and you feel like you've known him your whole life.
Oh yeah.
And that's Jason Kelce. Yeah. He must have that effect on everybody. We start talking. That guy played lacrosse. Mm-hmm. And I said, what position did you play in lacrosse? I'm thinking he's a big guy. He's got to be a defenseman, right? He's like, I played attack. And I'm like, what? Played attack. And picture that guy.
Good athlete.
He also played ice hockey. And I can't picture that guy coming. You got the puck in the corner. You got some guy coming flying in ready to just.
Well, nobody thinks of Kruk was a real good basketball player. Like, they don't think of that. You know?
Right.
You don't think of that.
If you make
way.
The show, you're good at everything.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
No, Jason Kelce, I mean, you're exactly right. Nicest guy in the world. Very, very, anybody can talk. Him. When I first met him, we were out at McGillin's in Center City, and it was closing time, and I was challenging people to Mario Kart 64 at the time, video games, and he's like, yo, I can roll you in Mario Kart 64. I'm like, let's go right now. So we go down to Stowe's, where I knew that there was, we knew the owner, and there was a video game set up, and I'm the second greatest Mario Kart 64 player in the world. Not even close. I will take on anybody.
Who's first?
Jason Kelce.
Really?
Really?
Kelce.
Wow. Wow, that's right.
He made Rainbow Road look like his.
Really?
His everything. I've never seen anything like it. This is 3 a.m., you know, having beers all night. But just the most humble guy.
You know what's a true test of somebody that gets Philadelphia is someone that spends a lot of time either in Sea Isle, Wildwood, Avalon, somewhere in the Jersey Shore. And Jason Kelce, you always hear mostly down in Sea Isle, right?
Sea Isle.
Oh, yeah. Ocean Drive.
Right.
It's a spot.
Ocean Drive. But that's a true guy, the person that gets it, that sticks around and spends their summers down the Jersey Shore.
But other than the Kelce moment, I mean,
Tommy Lasorda.
There were a lot of moments with Tommy. Yeah, a lot of moments.
Did he say anything afterwards?
Every name you can think of in the book, he'd yell at the Fanatic. And then finally, we did have a truce, you know, the Fanatic and Tommy, because he retired, and the Phillies at the Vet honored him with a Tommy Lasorda night. He was an Norristown boy. Mm-hmm. And Larry Schenck, the Baron, our old PR director, had the idea. It's like, hey, why don't you bring out the Fanatic should bring out a doll, Fanatic doll, and give it to Tommy at the end of this pregame ceremony. And we did that, and I think we buried the hatchet.
Smitty, I tell you, Thomas sort of really didn't like the Fanatic, is that time I had to take him around to radio stations. So I'm driving around in my little Volkswagen Jetta. I'm like, so Tommy, I asked a seemingly innocuous question. Tommy, that whole thing with the Fanatic, that's all an act, right? He's like, well, let me just tell you, Fanatic, I know a lot of kids laugh at the Fanatic, but I tell you what, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, like his voice starts raising, he's turning red, he's spitting. Yeah. Next
slowly
thing you know,
I can't
turn it off. And he's like, nah, blah, 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 blah. But tell Smitty about how the Dodger, we've told this before on the air, but how the Dodger would come in and sneak a jersey to you.
Yeah, well, that's how it started. You know, it was Dave, when Dave Raymond was the best friend of the Fanatic, you know, he'd always, smash a Dodgers helmet, or then, get Tommy's jersey so he could dress up the dummy. It was Steve Sachs. It was getting to a point where Tommy Steve Sachs would steal it, but Tommy was getting to a point he didn't like it anymore, and Sachs that last day stole it, and then Tommy just blew a gasket, and
Sachs would go into the locker room and say, hey, Fanatic, here, take
here,
this
here, here it is.
Don't tell anybody I gave it to you.
That's funny.
Smitty, we're here. We're looking at you. As you see, we're getting a new video board, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're getting a new field this year, so it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be an all-dirt field.
It's going to be like sandlot ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now looking out and knowing what we just went through in 2022, can you give us a prediction for the 2023 Phillies?
Well, let's give your thoughts of 2022 Phillies, right, and then prediction, right?
Sure.
Well, I mean, the thoughts about this year, it was surprising, and the one thing that I wish about this year, and it's nobody's obvious fault or anything, but I have a 19-month-old, and I was so the 93 Phillies when I was 8 was my childhood. I just wish that this happened when he was like 5, and then 6. I mean, it was just came at a, like, they're supposed to be good, obviously, but even like towards the end of the season when they made the playoffs, like, nobody was really expecting the run that they had, and just the memories that were created. I mean, they made lives, and it brought Philly back to a baseball town, mm-hmm. which is going to be great, because now you're going to be seeing those 2007 to 2011 numbers at the ballpark pretty much every night starting next year. And with next year, I mean, there's no reason why they can't be back. I mean, they're going to have their competition with the Mets, the Braves, the Dodgers, of course. But, I mean, the core is there. And I know Bryce is getting surgery tomorrow. Hopefully he'll be back. But they played most of the season without him. I mean, they can do it. And just hearing that Topper was going to retire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's unbelievable.
It
that's
really
unbelievable.
Is.
So,
and then we signed
Dave Dombrowski
for three years.
And he said, it's not like we're going to spend less money. I think we're clearly in a shortstop.
Yep.
Right. So whether we get Bogarts, whether we get Trey Turner, whether we get Correa, somebody, there's a lot of shortstops out there. Dansby Swanson. Who knows? There's a lot of different ways. I mean, Verlander's out there. You could go the starting pitching route. You could go.
Some of our young kids coming up could help the rotation.
Yeah, so. I'm excited. I'm really excited about Andrew Painter.
Yep.
Whether
Painter
he makes
Abel too.
Nick Abel. You get McGarry and some other guys. So it's gonna be fun.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you warn Smitty, that you've got the
I did not.
Quiz?
No, did you, it was more of a test to see if you listen to our podcast, because I do a quiz to everybody. In fact, I've got a bag right here filled with stuff. What's your kid's name?
Cooper.
Cooper.
Yep.
All right, Cooper. There's some stuff for Cooper. There's even some stuff for your wife, right?
Oh.
So you're going to come home and you'll be a very see, look right here.
Okay.
That's only if you get six out of
eight. I was going to say.
It's only if you get six out of eight.
Taunting him with this bag of goodies, but he's got to get six of eight.
Six out of eight. I got eight questions. They're multiple choice. You're going to have, you got to get six out of eight. They're about your life, so you have an inside track on it. And I think you'll do pretty well.
Okay.
I don't think you'll be stumped too much. All right. We ready for it?
Let's do this.
Thanks for the visit. Let's get down to business. Now here's your chance to show how much you really know. He might get grumpy if he can't stop you with Brazier's Quiz.
All right, Smitty, first one. As I mentioned, I got to put my reading glasses on. You went to Great Valley High School, right?
Correct.
Malvern, PA. Mm-hmm. Which one of these celebrities did not go to Great Valley High School? Did not. So three went to Great Valley, one did not. Okay. First one is Nasir Adderley, who's safety for the Chargers.
Went to Great Valley.
B is Tom Cipriano, who's otherwise known as Captain Jenks, who's a prank caller. Mikal Bridges, who you mentioned him earlier, Villanova, Phoenix Suns, and Adam McKay, film director, producer, comedian, anchorman, Talladega Nights.
Yes, that would be the prank caller. B did not
Captain
go.
Jenks. Yes,
Captain Jenks did not go.
He did not go. All right.
One for one.
You went to Susquehanna University, right, in Seals
yes.
Grove. Which one of these celebs did not go to Susquehanna?
All of them. There are no celebs well, that came from Susquehanna.
It's funny you said that because I had to stretch.
You were scraping.
I had to scrape a little bit, right? So here's what we're scraping here. Roger Blau, former CEO of U.S. Steel. Tommy Dempsey.
Celebrity.
Tommy Dempsey, former basketball coach of Binghamton and Ryder. Smashing Pumpkins lead singer Billy Corgan. And Jay Feaster, former GM of the Calgary Flames.
I would think I would know if Billy Corgan went to Susquehanna. For sure.
You are. Two for two. See? All right. You mentioned poker. Who has the most World Series of Poker bracelets? 16 of them.
Phil
Hellmuth, right?
I didn't even need the multiple
Johnny
choice.
Chan, Doyle yeah. Brunson, or Stu Unger. All right.
Shout out, Phil. Good
All
job.
Right. This is not your era, so this could trip you up a little bit. But what is the name of the former Islanders goalie who won four Stanley Cups and the Islanders with the Islanders and was the first goalie to be credited with a goal? First goalie ever to be credited with a goal.
We're a Long Island podcast now?
No, but it's Smith.
Oh,
Smith. There's a little tie-in.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
There's a little tie-in.
Not to mention, I thought Hextall was the first goalie with
credit,
the goal.
This was first credited with a goal. Was it Grove Smith, Mason Smith, Scotty Smith, or Billy Smith?
Booze, you know this one?
You can have a lifeline. You can go to your lifelines out here.
Billy Smith? Let's
Billy
go
Smith,
Smith
is correct.
Correct.
Good,
yes.
Good use of the lifeline. All right, this is another one where I had to scrape. In 2011-2012, you did color analyst for the Westchester Rams,
oh,
right?
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah, I did.
For football.
I did.
Right? So which celebrity did not go to Westchester U?
Okay.
Okay. Was it Gino Auriemma, right? I think I said that right. Who's the head women's coach for UConn, right? Joey Wendell, second baseman for the Marlins. Billy White Shoes Johnson, back in our era, the Houston Oilers, or Kathy Rush, the Immaculata women's basketball coach. There was a movie made about her.
Billy White Shoes went to Widener.
Went to Widener. That's very good.
Nice. I know he grew up around where I grew up, in Jacobtown. I think he was in Cheltenham, Abington area.
Yeah.
But we used to see Billy White Shoes playing basketball in the gym. You're like, where? There's Billy White Shoes.
Was he wearing white shoes?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You got it.
Good guy.
You're 5 for 5. You're one away from qualifying for that prize bag. What town, you might know that you either are going to know this right away or you might not know it. What town in Massachusetts did Dave Portnoy grow up in?
Swampscott. The pride
Swampscott.
Of
Swampscott. All right. Yeah. I was going to say Brookline, Marblehead, Milton, or Swampscott.
My man Smitty just qualified for the gift bag.
He got the gift bag. All right. Let's see if
he's going for the perfect score.
There's not too many people that have gone the perfect score. Do you remember any of them? Jason Stark, did he go perfect score?
I think Ruben Amaro, maybe.
Ruben,
yeah,
maybe.
Ruben.
Stanford Petrarca.
Yeah.
All right. Scottish. Economist Adam Smith,
yes,
right, wrote which classic book? That's
the Wealth of Nations.
Wealth of Nations.
Yes.
So
another
I don't even
famous
have to give
Smith.
You other one. So I guess if your name's Adam Smith, you should know what the other Adam Smith wrote, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you know what Tom Burgoyne wrote?
No, but
you wrote a bunch of children books.
Well, yeah, me. But the only Burgoyne gentleman, Johnny Burgoyne, was a British general in the Revolutionary War, and he was the guy who.
Is he the one who screwed up?
He's the one who waved the white flag. surrendered at Saratoga. So I come from a long line of quitters.
Are you part French?
No, it's English. He was an English general, and I'm not sure if I'm related to him. He was a quitter.
All right, the last one. This is very random here, but the Fanatic has performed on 5 out of the 7 continents. Okay, Antarctica is not one of them, so we're going to already eliminate them. Which of these continents did not host the Fanatic? Was it Africa, South America, Europe, or Asia? What continent did the Fanatic not perform on?
We're the perfect score.
It's not South America because of the Galapagos Islands.
Correct.
Obviously.
Born and raised.
So between Asia, Africa, and Europe.
Yep.
Man, we'll go.
There's a lot riding on this answer right here.
We'll go Africa.
Africa is correct. 8 for 8. How about that?
Nice work, Smitty.
Huh?
Nice work.
8 for 8.
Appreciate it.
That's solid. Because
the Fanatic, of course, went to Amsterdam, right? He had to go to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And then you've been on. I know
Japanese baseball.
Yeah, Japanese baseball.
I know
baseball,
we told the story. We'll end on the story. Tell the story about Frank Copenbarger and the Tokyo Dome. It's my favorite. One of my favorite stories.
Fanatic did a couple of those All-Star series between the Japanese All-Stars and the MLB All-Stars, and Frank Copenbarger was our longtime equipment manager. And you know how it's the first game of this series, packed Tokyo Dome, and they introduced the staff first. And
Frank is very he still is. He's
He's still alive.
Very grumpy, very old school, very like, you go in there to ask for Frank. He's going to yell at you, and then he's nice. He'll eventually give it to you, but good. So you had to.
The Fanatic was ready for him. He gets introduced. He's lined up on the first base side, and as the rest of the staff and the players get introduced, the Fanatic went up to him, had a super soaker, and he's wearing beige pants and soaked him right in the crotch.
But he's by himself. He's the only one out there at that point.
His big moment. Frank is so excited to be on this trip, and now he's out there with a wet crotch at the Tokyo Dome. And I don't know if the fans really, understood what was going on, but I was cracking up.
And what did Frank say?
Frank wants to throw the Fanatic off the plane in the Pacific Ocean on the way home.
Yeah. And the Fanatic, too, has had a lot of moments, too. He jammed on stage with Little Feet.
Yeah.
Right? He had Elton John singing to his snout.
Yep.
Right? He did the...
Billy Joel got kicked out of a Bruce Springsteen concert. It's been a great ride, Smitty.
Got kicked out of the
boss? What's that? Yeah.
The boss kicked out?
He wasn't thrilled.
He picked the wrong song.
It was Murder Incorporated.
Yeah. Like if he came in front of...
He was a little serious. He was in a serious mode. Serious Bruce mode. And the Fanatic got the old heave-ho.
Yeah. But, maybe you ought to have the Fanatic on your podcast.
First time, long time, both of you guys.
Yeah, this has been fun, Smitty. Yeah, thanks for coming in. Yeah, it's getting dark, but it looks cool, doesn't it? This is a great view the guys have when they're doing the game.
Best city in the world.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right, Smitty, thanks for being here.
I appreciate you coming in. Nice meeting you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
John, another success, and we'll see everybody next time on Philly's Backstage.